And thank you, as Pastor said, for being so faithful. And I do pray that the days ahead will yield great results and fruit in your life from these meetings. I was thinking, as Pastor was talking about that, in the last national revival that America has seen was in 1857, 1858, the prayer meeting revival as it became to be known. And Jeremiah Lamphere decided that the nation needed prayer. New York was at the stage of collapse economically, morally, in every way possible. It looked pretty bleak in America in those days. But this man, along with a friend, went to the Dutch Reformed Church there in New York City. And during the noon hour, they knelt by some old wooden chairs and began to pray and ask God to bring revival. Well, that prayer meeting began to double. It began to triple until the newspapers, the New York Times, reported that soon the striking of the bell at 12 will be a call to prayer. And all over New York, fire stations, police stations, schools, any public building practically was being used for prayer. And before that revival ended, 2 years later, all over England, all over America, people were coming during the noon hour simply to pray. There was never a sermon preached during that revival. It was all prayer. And it is said that over 1 million people trusted Christ in those prayer meetings. And so we don't have to have preaching necessarily for God to do a great work. God can work in a lot of different ways. And so I hope that tomorrow will find you with the Lord for a season, and as you go through your day, you'll be conscious of those things that God has taught you and shown you even this week. Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's where we started Sunday morning, and we want to go back to this text, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and read beginning in verse 9, where we find out that we are God's building, and we'll read down to verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The foundation, Jesus Christ. The friction, it's going to come against the building. Storms, winds, rain, it's going to come against our life. And whether we stand or fall is going to be determined by what we've built our life upon. Jesus said, if we build upon his sayings and we are obedient to those sayings, our house will stand. Then we saw that form is important. What does God want us to look like? Well, he wants us to look like Jesus Christ. We need to show Christ in our life to those around us. And last night we saw the function. We are to be serving. We are to be productive. We are to be doing what God has created us for. And that is to bring forth fruit to God. But the ultimate test of our building will not come until God strikes the match. What happens to our building when God strikes the match? Even after a lifetime of using your building, there's a final inspection at the end of it all. Now, let's make three observations tonight about this final inspection of fire. Notice, first of all, God reminds us about a variety of materials. In verse number 10, after he tells us about this foundation, he says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." And in verse number 12, he gives us a list of building materials: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, I suppose we could categorize those into two groups. Obviously, there's a big difference between gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. So we would categorize these building materials into two groups, and we could perhaps call one the durable and the other the doubtful. Now, many people build their building out of that which is doubtful. Many today look like good buildings. They seem to be built from that which is proper and right. But a close examination up against the plumb line of Scripture, we find otherwise. Many people today build their life out of the experimental. That is, they kind of go through life and they say, well, let's try this. This sounds good. Everybody seems to be going this direction. Let's go this direction. Let's believe this. Here's a philosophy I think I can grab onto, or here's a religious system I think sounds good. And a lot of people go through life just trying to figure out what is best for them experimentally. Sort of like the simple man in the book of Proverbs who believeth every word. You know, he's not really sure what he believes, but he's just kind of, well, I'll try this, and if that doesn't work, there's other things I can choose. Kind of reminds me of what they did back in the book of Judges, where God said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, some people build their life on that which is easy. Now, they don't want any opposition to their life. They just want to make everybody happy. And we live in a day today where we have been taught to tolerate all views. We don't want any persecution. We don't want any opposition. So we'll just take the easy road. Can I remind you, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I love the promises of God's word, but there are some I wished he had left out. Like the promise, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's just as much a promise as whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. And if you live for God and you live the life that God has designed for us, there's going to be some hardship. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did they, so did your fathers under the false prophets. So some build that which is experimental. Some build out of the materials that are easy. Some build out of that which is expedient. That is the pragmatic, that which brings about good results. Remember I said last night, be careful, rejoice in your faithfulness, not in your fruitfulness. Only God knows the results. Have you ever done something you thought, why did I even bother to do that? And later on you found out that it was really a good thing you did. We don't know the results. Why do we go soul winning? Why do we go out and knock on doors? Why do we go soul winning? Well, someone might say, because we want to see people saved. Okay. What if no one gets saved? Do we stop going? See, a lot of people live their life with a pragmatic view. In ethics, we call it a teleological view, a result-based or an end-based kind of a life. But God has given us a deontological base to our life. We are to obey out of duty's sake. Look, we're to go soul winning whether anybody gets saved or not. We're to preach God's word whether anybody responds or not. And so a lot of people, they're looking for the way in life that brings about the best results. Paul said, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. So the expedient. And then some people build out of the materials of the empirical. Now, empiricism, the empirical, is that which we can see or hear or touch or taste or smell. That is, a lot of people don't believe anything that they cannot experience with their senses. Empiricism. Today we have a great divide of truth between fact and value. A lot of people refuse to believe anything as truth unless it's based on the empirical, and they call that fact. Science is based on the empirical. A lot of people want to say, well, only that which is empirical is really true, that which you can see, that which you can hear, that which you can touch, taste, and smell. Well, no man has seen God at any time. And a lot of people, they're not opposed to you believing in God, but they don't want you to pass that on as fact, because to them it's not a fact, it's value. You can't see morality. It's a value. So whatever your morals are, that's up to you. There's no facts that guide that. That's a very prominent thinking today in our society. And we've got to be careful that we don't base our life, we build our building on the empirical, because if we do, we're eliminating theology, we're eliminating morality, we're eliminating ethics, we're eliminating God. Some people build out of the material of the egoistical, that which promotes themselves, that which promotes me, makes me look good. You know, we desperately need some funerals for self. We need some Christian suicides. And I'm not talking about a rope. I'm not talking about a gun or a bottle of pills. I'm talking about what Paul said. I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Have you had a funeral for self lately? Remember, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. By the way, the middle letter in the word Lucifer is I. The middle letter in pride is I, which is what doomed Lucifer. The middle letter in sin is I. But by the way, the middle letter in revival is I. If we get the I in the right place, we'll have revival. But you know, too often I is prominent. Too often I is what it's all about. And God says we've got to humble ourselves. Mortify, therefore, your members that are upon the earth. Put them to death. Oh, the egoistical. And then some people, they build out of the materials of the elevated. That which man approves, that which man applauds. Again, Jesus said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto the Lord. Some people build out of the materials of the emerging. Oh, it's new. Boy, look at this. It's brand new. Boy, this is fresh. This is trendy. This is appealing. God says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Let me give you some advice. Before you tear any fences down, ask why maybe those fences were put up in the first place. You know, a lot of people want to tear down all the fences. They want to tear down all the rules. They want to tear down all the standards. They want to tear everything down because it's just too old-fashioned. It's too old fuddy-duddy. Yeah, we want something new. We want something trendy. We want something that's emerging. Be careful. And some people build out of the emotional, that which feels good, feels right. A lot of people say, well, I'm just not feeling it. I just don't feel like serving God. I don't feel like reading my Bible. Look, feeling is never going to produce fact. Now, facts will produce the right kind of feeling, but feeling will never produce facts. Right facts produce right feelings, but feeling never changes facts. And then some people build out of that which is enjoyable. They just want to be happy. Just want to have fun. Pleasure. But Paul says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now let me tell you something. The Christian life includes happiness, but it demands holiness. Christian life is not a life to go and sit in the corner and have a pity party all the time. It includes happiness. It includes joy. It includes rejoicing. But it demands that we be holy as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy. So be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy even as I am holy. So a lot of people building out of doubtful material. Well, what would be the durable? Well, what's the gold, the silver, the precious stones? How would we categorize the durable? What is this kind of material that's going to endure the test of fire, that's going to stand up to the inspection of God? Well, I think we'd have to say that which is durable would be that which is established. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. A good building material for your life is the very word of God. Do we have a Bible principle for everything that we're building? Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, thou hast founded them forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So we want to build out of that which is established. We want to build out of that which is eternal. The voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So we want to build out of the established. We want to build out of the eternal. We want to build out of the excellent. Paul said we're to approve things that are excellent. Well, again, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, God said, so his word is. We want to build out of that which is examined, that which is tested, that which is impeccable, without error. Aren't you glad that God doesn't lie? God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. In fact, it's impossible, Hebrews 6:18 says, for God to lie. So the choices of material are very important. There's a variety of materials from which we can build our life. But lives are collapsing. Homes are collapsing. Churches are collapsing tonight because we're building out of the doubtful rather than the durable. But next, after he shows us this variety of materials, he reminds us of a vivid moment. In verse 13, he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. For the day, a vivid moment. A final exam day, a strike the match day. Notice it's a forecasted time. You know, it's amazing that we as human beings live our life from day to day without any thought of the end. They asked John Adams one time, what's the most important thought that could occupy a man's mind? And he thought very briefly, and he said, the most important thing that could occupy a man's mind is that one day he will give an account for his life. I don't know how often God in heaven ponders things, but I find him pondering in Jeremiah chapter 8. He says, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. God's saying, now let me get this straight. The birds know when to migrate, the animals know when to hibernate, but my people haven't figured out that this is all going to end and you're going to stand before me. It's a forecasted time. It's coming. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. Paul said to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Prepare to meet thy God. Do you know what life is? You want a definition of life? Life is our opportunity to prepare to meet God. And that's all it is. That's all it is. Life's not about making money. Because that's not going anywhere when you leave. Staying right here. And eventually it's going to be burned up. Everything in this world is going to burn up. So life's not about things. Life's not about possessions. Life's not about fame. Half of us in this room couldn't tell who won the World Series 3 years ago. Seemed important at the time. But that stuff comes and goes. Life is about one thing, using the time that God has given us to prepare to meet Him. Friend, you're not ready to die until you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to walk out of those doors tonight if you're not ready to die. You're not ready for tomorrow if you're not ready to die. It's a forecasted time, and there's coming in that time a fire test. In verse number 13, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 9 says, you are God's building. One day, that building is going to stand before God. It's a forecasted time. Now, when your building and my building, when our lives, when we individually stand before God, and He looks at our building, what's He going to do? Is He going to blow on it like the big bad wolf in the story of the three pigs? No. Is He going to take a hammer and tap on the side of it to see how sound it is? No. Is He going to shake the ground underneath it? No. The Bible says He's going to strike a match. He's going to burn it. It's a fire test. The Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Who may stand before the Lord? For He is as a refiner's fire. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of His head like the pure wool. His throne was as a fiery flame, His wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto Him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Our God is a consuming fire, and this fire will yield a full transparency. In verse number 13, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. A full transparency. You won't bribe the judge. You won't buy him off. You won't wink and get by. Now is the end come upon thee, and I'll judge thee for all thy ways and recompense thee for all thine abominations. Mine eye will not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I'll recompense thee for all thine abominations, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Nothing will be covered in that day. Nothing will be hidden in that day. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill the heavens and the earth? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the darkness shall be light about thee. The darkness hideth not from thee. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. A full transparency. When God strikes this match, you won't be late. You won't leave early. You won't be on your cell phone. You won't be texting. You won't be chatting. You won't tune him out. You won't ignore him. Your building will be tested. It's a vivid moment. And a verdict is meted. In verse 14, if any man's work abide, okay, he strikes the match. He burns your building. If any man's work, building, life, abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's works be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. when the consuming fire of God's judgment hits the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the experimental, the easy, the expedient, the empirical, the egoistical, the elevated, the emerging, the emotional, the enjoyable, when the fire hits the doubtful, it's gone. The building is consumed. It's annihilated. Nothing. And for some, the Bible teaches us here there will be a forfeiture of reward. Verse 15, if any man's works be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Boy, aren't you glad he put that last part in there? You can't lose your salvation. Boy, aren't you glad. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father that gave them me, Jesus said, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. I am the bread of life, he said. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Remember, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We have a sure foundation. But if we have built on that foundation wood, hay, and stubble, the doubtful, we will suffer loss of reward. For others, this judgment will be the fulfillment of redemption. For verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, it stands the test, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You see, when the fire of judgment hits the durable, when it hits the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, the established, the eternal, the excellent, the examined, fire cannot destroy gold. In fact, it purifies gold. It makes it even more valuable. It purifies the silver. You see, when the fire hits that which is durable, it's a time of acquisition rather than a time of annihilation. We receive a reward. You say, oh, Brother Gedge, I don't care if I get anything. I'm just thankful I'm saved. I'm just thankful I'll be in heaven. And I don't care if I live in a cabin up there or live on a back street. I don't need any rewards. I don't need any crowns. I'm not that kind of guy. Well, you misunderstand. This is the fulfillment of redemption. In Revelation 4, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and blessing, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Friend, you don't keep the reward. The full cycle of redemption is God has saved you. So now you have lived your life for God. And because you have lived for that which is durable, the fire makes that which you have built even more valuable. And as a result, you receive a reward which you don't keep. You don't strut around heaven saying, hey, look at my crown. Wow, you didn't get much. Look at me. No, you take that crown, and in a full cycle of redemption, you go back to the Lord Jesus Christ and you lay it at His feet, for He is worthy. Because the only reason you're in heaven and the only reason you were able to build a building of any value is because of Him. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are. So, how are we building? What materials are we using tonight? It's very important. Many buildings around us collapsing because of poor building materials. And it may not show now. The house may look fine. It may look like all the other houses. But what happens when God strikes the match. Must I go in empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him? Lay no trophy at his feet? Now at death I do not shrink or falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed? Thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years of sinning wasted, could I but recall them now? I would give them to my Savior. To his will I'd gladly bow. Oh, ye saints, arise, be earnest. Up and work while yet is day. Ere the night of death o'ertake you, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one crown with which to meet him? Must I empty-handed go? Foundation, check. Friction, check. Form, check. Function, check. But what happens to it all when God strikes the match? What happens when fire hits the building? May we live with the end in sight. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, We're short-sighted. We tend to live for the moment.